For those of you that weren't here last week, it probably was one of the best presentations I've heard about on justification. So if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go onto the website and listen to it, because I thought what Rob had to share was very profound as far as understanding the dilemma. And I want to review a couple things he said, because I think that this goes along with what we're talking about today. He was talking about justification. And before we understand the fix, we've got to understand the problem. And when he was talking about it, he talked about what was the original problem that occurred in heaven. Well, the original problem, as Rob talked about last week, was self-exaltation. Lucifer suddenly thinking, why am I not at this position where Jesus is? Why? What's the matter that this is, that we have this system here? How he came into that thought process, how those things occurred, is a mystery. It's just a mystery. But as he talked about that, I think it was so profound, because he really talked about the process of that, how that probably might have developed, and all the things God the Father and Jesus did to work with Lucifer in that process. And so if that's the problem, if that's what we're dealing with, then we're looking for, okay, what's the fix? And he talked about the experience of Jesus Christ dying and that, and the justification. And then last week he alluded to that we're going to be talking about sanctification, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And growing up, some of you may have had the experience where hear these words and you kind of think, okay, well, this is that. But I think it's important we get a good operational definition of what does it mean? What does sanctification mean to you? What does it mean in your understanding? So if you actually look up the word sanctify, it means to set aside. That's the verb form of it. To set aside. You set something aside as holy. So when we talk about being set aside, it's an interesting idea. I was talking to my mother about this, and she said, well, sanctification was always a thing that was a lifetime experience. Any of you have that thought when you growing up, or still, I mean, I'm not saying it's not forever today, but it's a lifetime experience. Justification is when you accept Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a lifetime experience. But I think it's real critical to kind of understand, what does it mean to be set aside? What does it mean to be to do that? How does that work practically? So when you think about sanctification, what things come to your mind? What are the things that your definitions of that? Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit working within.
Okay. So it's the Holy Spirit working within and you allowing that to occur. Okay. Go ahead.
Now I'm saying the Sabbath, I mean, we set aside for a special day that we set aside that we honor God.
Okay. So the seventh day has been set aside as a day of honoring and recreating ourselves. It's really made for us. We sometimes make it about God, but it's really God made it for us because He knew what we needed. But that's right, it's been set aside. And we as Seventh-day Adventists think about the day is set aside from other activities so we can recreate ourselves, rejuvenate ourselves. How about the rest of you? What are your ideas on sanctification? Go ahead.
For me, in a very practical way, the Holy Spirit will bring an awareness of change or conviction. And when whether it's an attitude or curt voice or behavior, I have to stop and say, God, I need help doing this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it means acting as is.
Okay. So it's realizing that you need help for things and letting that help come in.
I have to make the choice. Because I think when I believe in Christ, then is the first time I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I can can choose to be selfish or to ask God to help mm-hmm. me to be another sinner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about the rest of you? What are your ideas on sanctification?
One of the things I think of in my own life is to him that much has been given, much is expected. And I look back and I think, I've been given a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You know, a stable home, love, you know, mm-hmm. all the necessities of life on my mind. And so much is expected in the fact that I look to who has given it to me, but I constantly be aware of where that these gifts have come from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a sanctifying experience as I constantly look at.
So when you think about how you've been blessed and how you've been, many things have been given, then it feels a sense of gratefulness and you want to give in that
yeah.
cycle.
Yeah, I okay. want to share it with others so they can feel that gift.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who else? I want to include as many of you as you'd like to speak up. Go ahead.
Constantly learning how to pray.
Constantly learning how to pray.
Face different things in everyday life. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you get so caught up, you just have to stop and just learn how to pray about
those things. Okay, so we I like that idea. We have to learn how to pray. I mean, I think that's it, because that's really a communication with God, and it's taking that moment to learn how to connect with that power beyond ourselves. Go ahead.
I think that you have everything else through the week to do and to think about. And when it comes down to the Sabbath, I think that it's gave to you to really think about what God has did for you. You to pray and thank Him for the things that He has done. Although you do it every day, but this is a day that just nothing but God all on your mind.
Okay. Go ahead.
I really like what you said about constantly learning how mm-hmm. to pray. Because that's like an ongoing relationship, and that's so beautiful.
That is. I like that too, because if you think about it ongoing, it's a developing process. As a father of two daughters, you know, you often have the experience where you think about, well, you know, the older they get, the more recognition you have of possibilities in life. And I've had, on two occasions, received that phone call you never want to hear. Dad, I've been in an accident. This last week, my younger daughter called me about 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. I was in Grand Prairie. And she called, and I was with a little kid I was seeing, and I just silenced it. And she called right back. I said, okay, that's the signal to take it. So I took that phone call, and she said, Dad, I've been in an accident. You know, and your heart just sinks. It's like, okay. And you know, the first question is, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. But my car. But my car, Dad. It's a car she's had since she was 16. She's 8 years. She's very proud of that car. She worked for that car, and she bought that car. But my car. I said, oh, okay. You're okay. And then I started relating to her. Oh, I know that. I hate that for your car. But you know what? That can be fixed. And you know, it's such an interesting experience. And then my immediate thought was, I'm in Grand Prairie. She's in university in Fort Worth, you know, at university in Montgomery area. And I thought, okay, how can I get there? I said, well, I'm a little ways away. And then she was saying, the man's telling me I'm going to get a ticket. And I said, you know what? He can say whatever he wants. They're not there to give you a ticket, and they don't give you a ticket anymore. So they don't give it unless they witness the accident. So, oh, okay. I said, well, I'll call you as soon as I'm done. I was just about done. So I called her back. And, you know, that's experience of just that sinking feeling and that sense of, I want to go and be there. And I said to her, I'm coming there. I'll be there shortly. I said, the police come. No, they're not come yet. And so I was coming. I called Carol and said, well, we need to go and get Farron, go help Farron. So we got there. And you know what? I kind of had that experience of feeling like, I wonder if this is what God experiences when we say, Jesus, I accept you.
And he must want to rush in there. And he wants to say, oh, let me show you all the things that are here. But, oh God, I've got this to worry about. Oh, we've got that covered. Because when I got there with my daughter, I said, this is why you have insurance. This is why we pay X amount of dollars a month. This is why we do this. Well, I've just never had an accident. I said, I'm grateful too. And you've had your first, and it's not tragic, and nobody's hurt. You're pulling out a parking lot, and someone, you know. But this is all repairable. And you know what? I had that experience of just sensing, wow, I can't imagine what God's experience is like. It's just phenomenal. Think about. The next day I was driving by a car, and there was this little red car that had gone and hit this, a little Honda Civic hit this, my daughter's car. It hit this culvert, and smoke was coming at it, and there an ambulance wasn't even there, and I hurried by. There was about 10 people around, pulling people. I just started crying. My tears were, oh, I'm so grateful my daughter is fine. I'm so grateful she's fine. Thank you, God. And I think, you know, if I can take that little pathetic experience and magnify it a million times, what that's like for God. You know, and as we journeyed through that process of calling insurance, and I drove her car back to her apartment because we had to pull things off and keep it, you know. And then I drove it home so I could take it to the shop, and I left my car with her. And I'm thinking, what a wonderful experience this is for me and her. And Carol, then that we you know, it was about 6:30 or 7. We got the insurance going. We got this going. And I said, are you hungry? Yes, let's go eat. So we went and ate. You know, we just talked. And I thought, you know, here it is on a Wednesday evening. We wouldn't normally be together on a Wednesday evening. But her unfortunate experience is creating opportunity for us. And I think that's how God views us at times. Oh, let me show you all the things I've got for you here. Let's come get together. Let's see what we can do to create an exciting and happy life here. And I was so grateful my daughter called me. I was so grateful that she included me in that experience. Because there's probably a time period when our relationship wasn't as close as it is now that she might not have called me, or she would have reluctantly called me. But to me, it was a great experience, the fact that she included me. I mean, you know, other than the moment my heart stopped for her, then she said, oh, she was okay. Everything worked out, and it's in the process. It's funny, last night I'm driving this little Hyundai rent car, and I said, well, we need to go down and show your license so that you can drive this rent car. And she said, well, you kind of like that little car, don't you, Dad? I don't mind your Honda Accord. I let me take you. So I said, take my car. Those are wonderful things for me and her and our relationship. And I think about sanctification is the way God is setting us aside and creating it so He can be more in a relationship with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes I felt bad because I reach out to Him most often when I'm in distress.
Mm-hmm.
What you're talking about is that you were just glad that she called.
Absolutely.
And God's just glad and calm, no matter what situation we're in.
Absolutely. I believe that. That is really what I think is true. He is longing for that. He is desiring of that. That's His. He is recreating to His creation. And that is what I think we struggle to realize at times. So to me, as I've thought about it all this week, the sanctification process is really God helping us more to understand how we can have a more intense relationship. You know, sometimes it's a challenge because we want to start, you know, we accept Jesus Christ, we have that moment of justification, and we have that experience, and then we say, okay, now what? But the reality is God is saying, oh, now what? Let me tell you all what there is. Let's talk about all the exciting things. Let's realize all what we have here. Here, we're going to have this happen. We're going to have this happen. But, oh, we're going to be right here together in it. And I think that, to me, is such a powerful thing to remind myself, is that all of this is really
way of creating a relationship, intensifying the relationship. And it's something that I think we have very little understanding of how to do. But it's something, as we become open and responsive, we can then know more. About 2 months ago, I hurt my leg in playing softball. And so I thought, you know, I got to do something other than just hope it gets better. So I looked up and found a sports massage person. So I thought, well, this would be good sports massage. Man, that was the most painful experience. Painful. And I'm thinking, as this massage therapist is stretching my legs and massage, whoa, that hurts so good. and you know, I thought about it. You know, I thought about, what's that like? You know, I have to sit there and remain open. She's doing all the stretching. She is taking my muscles, my different limbs and stuff, and stretching them. And while she's doing that, she's massaging it so it relaxes a little. But it's, I'm the one benefiting. She's the one working. But what do I do in that process? Take deep breaths, breathe, allow it to occur, and say, yes, it's going to help me. What?
I say it feels so good when it stops.
It does feel good. But you know what? In that process, what's occurring is a lot of release for me in my body. And I thought, you know what? That's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting us to keep open, to keep responsive, to keep knowing how to pray, which really means keep being open to the relationship. And in that relationship, He then is doing amazing things. And I guess that's what I'd like to focus on a little here in the last half of the class is, what do you think, I mean, in a practical sense, how in your life has be experiencing justification and then the process of sanctification, what does it mean in a behavioral way for you? Does Denny know how it's meant behaviorally? What is it meant in reality? Go ahead.
I think I'm really enjoying this quarterly so far. Mm-hmm. And all the talk about justification, because for me what it has done is just reminded me, again, I said this probably a couple weeks ago, I don't have to do or prove anything.
Right.
I mean, God just really loved me. His Son came and died for me. I'm already saved. Mm-hmm. I have to make a choice to follow Christ.
Right.
Or not. And it has just relieved my mind that it's not dependent on me, thank you, Lord, you know, to have to prove through my works. Or through volunteering, or, you know, serving on the church board or something.
And I think that's a good thing to realize. There's a relief in it's not something I have to show and make proof of. It's not something, okay, now I've got it, I've got to go make sure I'm showing. And that gets back to that behavioral sense where we're going to go back and now we're going to... And what does that do? It's going to, oh, well, now I've accepted Jesus Christ, but I now know... I don't need to keep that process going because I need to be this good person. What's that self-exaltation that Rob talked about last week? We go back. It's a constant thing where we want to make sure we have everything we need within our little sphere and we're our own masters. So if we go back to it, it's a relief to know I don't have to prove, I don't have to try to justify to others because I am justified.
So then what has happened is I am constantly asking the Holy Spirit, I mean, no matter what the conversation is or who I'm talking to, Lord, let these words be the words guided by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. It's always about Christ. And
right.
In every single thing, whether I'm, mm-hmm. you know, speaking in front of people, I am just always saying, Lord, make sure that my words are guarded mm-hmm. and that they are guided by the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And even my attitude.
Absolutely. That's true. I saw your hand up earlier, and I was caught up in my story. You were going to say something.
Oh, I was just thinking about a time I had an experience very similar to yours. Mm-hmm. I was on the fire department, and my daughter was coming to see me.
Uh-huh.
and she turned her car sideways over in the intersection about 400 feet from the station. So we responded to it, and I'm looking at this car going, that looks familiar. And then I heard my daughter's voice crying. I'm all melted down right there.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, I'm hugging her, and my lieutenant's looking at me going, Woody sure is being awful friendly. Then he realized it was my daughter.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that'd be like to come upon it not knowing that. That would have been an instance. How about the rest of you? What does it mean in your life? Jan is saying it's created a sense of relief, so it's not something she's trying to prove to others or prove. It's recognizing I am in this relationship. What else does it mean? Go ahead.
What it does to me is the statement that we have nothing to fear for the future except that we forget the past. And if we have had these experiences and realized what was happening within us, then, okay, I don't know what the future is going to be, but it's going to be okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's a sense of peace about what's happening. And that's a challenging thing at times, especially when there's all kinds of things. When your heart's racing or your blood pressure's going wacky, it's have to remember that, don't you?
I've remembered a few times in the last month.
You've had to remind yourself of that. Go ahead, Trent. We'll be right here.
Just to add on probably what your mother's saying and what Jan's saying, God always wants the best for us. And we get in our own way sometimes. And for me, sanctification is kind of akin maybe to a term in aviation, that good approaches make for good landings. And it's like when you approach a situation with God in control of the situation, you turn it over to Him and do what He wants you to do, it's going to come out the best for you. Now, the problem for me is a lot of times, that's a kind of a scary thing to do because I have to totally let go and let God, you know?
That's true.
And but when you do that, the result is always good because God always wants the best for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, in my life, I try to keep our family together so that we can, be lovely and understand one another and be with one another all the time. Practically every month, we get together and we have a big barbecue, big fish fry, or something to keep our family together. That's not only my immediate family, the whole family. We invite them all.
And that's a way of coming together to remind ourselves why we experience this connection. And I think that's what God is continually wanting us to create in our lives, that awareness of why we're there.
And what makes it so good about it, there's no drinking. There's no drinking. It's just eating and being merry and loving one another.
Yeah, that's neat. How about the rest of you? What is sanctification experience? And if we've talked about it being relief, letting go. Go ahead.
Gratitude and peace.
Gratitude and peace. It is. And you know, the whole thing about sanctification is, there's every religion takes an approach on it, but that thing, we're justified, we don't have to worry about behavior. You're right, when we experience really accepting that gift, we don't have to worry about behavior. Because if we truly accept the gift, that acceptance then creates an experience where we're in tune with the law of God.
Don't you think that's an ongoing thing?
Absolutely.
I think we deal every day with those kinds of choices and have to reacquaint ourselves and reconnect every day.
I think that's very true. Because going back to what Rob said last week, that self-exaltation, we want to somehow get to the point where, I don't need to worry about others or God. I can just feel like I'm in my own self and that's the thing we have to keep reminding ourselves. This is the issue here. We letting go, taking that landing, letting go. years ago in one of our training experiences at the University of North Texas, we had these experiences where we had an encounter group where we get together and we do all these little activities. One of them is you get someone behind you, and if you trust the person, you just fall backwards. What's the tendency? Okay, I'm falling backwards. But and actually at a retreat in for teachers at the conference, we did that once where we fell off a table. We're a group of people, not just one. But you think about it. What does it take to let go like that? A trust, a sense of, I'm going to be okay. Those that I'm falling into their arms are going to make sure they do all within their power to make sure I'm safe. And that's a very difficult thing. Go ahead.
Actually, what I have found in my life, it isn't the trust that comes first.
Uh-huh.
It's me running out of options.
Oh, interesting.
And it was amazing how on this trip, almost on a daily basis, when I ran out of my options, God could step in and say, okay, are you done now? Now, watch what I can do. You know, in Juneau, I already alluded to this. You know, in Juneau, the nurses were telling me, there's a white nurse that coordinated this, and she said, we have to get your father out of here. And I said, well, you know what? I'm waiting to hear from the travel. She goes, how many days has he been away? And finally I realized, you know what, if we have a chance at saving his life, we're going to have to pay for this. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, Medicare will pay for part of it, the supplemental. I'm like, we got to do this. I was out of options.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 hours later, the ER doctor that got off shift at 3, this was at 9 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. walked into my room and he said, they've approved your flight.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, Lord, I'm listening. But I have found that it is when we give up. And to me, that's what sanctification is, mm-hmm. is to recognize. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It doesn't mean. But, you know, when I'm justified, God gave me a new nature.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me an ability to hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes he has to beat me over the head. Sometimes he has to back me into the corner. But I've realized that it's in those times that I grow.
Absolutely.
It's through the sleepless nights that I start to grow and I go, oh my, I did not see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is those trials. And I've learned to say, it's okay
mm-hmm.
that my life is one trial mm-hmm. succeeded by another.
Mm-hmm.
That just means that, you know what, God is working and he's changing my nature. Mm-hmm. And you know what, sometimes that's the only way to do that.
I think that is very true. I often work with parents and I try to help them remind themselves when they're talking about teenagers and adults, children. I said, you know what? If you're always an option, nothing else is going to, they don't need anything else. And I don't want to be the option for my children, 26 and 24. I don't want to be, I'm not their savior. I'm their earthly father who loves them, but I'm not their savior. And I think that's an important thing. Many times it's when we run out of options, when we say, God, help me, is when we realize that's when we're opening to that self of sanctification. And I think that's an important thing to remind ourselves. It is in those processes. It is that relationship when things are not working. It's when we sometimes learn the most. And what do we learn? That there is a God. That he does love us. That he does care for us. That we are important to him. That everything, there is something beyond just my little brain of trying to make it work the way I think it should work. And that's hard. I think that's a difficult thing to let go of at times. Sometimes we want to feel that sense of control. How about the rest of you? What is sanctification in your life? Running out of options, feeling relieved, you don't have to justify. But
one of the things that, when you were talking about children, it brought to my mind, the whole idea of sanctification is God makes us right, but then we go through a process of our minds becoming like his with mm-hmm. things that he suggests make sense to us. A lot of times they don't really make mm-hmm. a lot of sense because we still want to do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we think about our children, how we raised them to be a certain way.
And then, like my son, he always used to tell me that, "Dad, when I get grown, I'm not going to do anything like you."
That's just a comforting thing, isn't it?
Every kid says that. But even with his younger brother, there's certain things. Now he is grown. I hear him saying, his brother's living with him, I hear him saying certain things that are just like mine. And I used to always tell him, I said, "Well, you know what, by the time you get my age, I will be so affected to you that you'll be thinking just like me." And so when I look at Christ and the whole justification process and sanctification, that is the process of God saying that when this mind and my mind and your mind become like each other, then everything that I say would make sense to you, because you would think that, "Oh, I would have done it this way anyway."
That's right.
Realizing that God has transformed our mind. So when he says, "Let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus," then that's the process that has taken place.
That's
and
a
now
good,
we're of one mind.
That's a good analogy. I think that's a good one. It really is. And these are really what makes sense to me when I think about it. You know, we're one mind, therefore we don't have to, you know, we think, okay, you know, I read this statement and like the last one in the quarterly, it says, "Righteousness is obedience to the law. The law demands righteousness, and this the sinner owes to the law, but he is incapable of rendering it." You know, I read that and my first thing is, demands righteousness. But it's not a demand, it's just a simple fact. If you're of the mind of God, you're in connection with the law of God and the law of love. But sometimes we want to focus on that demand word instead of it being a simple fact. We want to focus on it's something we've got to demand, we've got to figure out how to do that, instead of if I'm in that connection, it's not something where we're focused on the law because we're in it. And I think that's an important process. And it is a lifetime experience. It really is. Go ahead.
I was listening to Julie and hearing her talk about trials, and I used to think, when do you get to the point where you've mastered all the trials? And you really don't. It is reading in, I think, the first chapter of Steps of Christ told us that trials are a blessing. Oh, no, they're not.
Trials. They're not.
But what I am learning is that in each trial, I'm trying to master the trial. Mm-hmm. But God is really strengthening me from within.
Right.
To deal with any situation. So trial after trial, I get stronger and stronger. And the things that used to be such a trial to me are like, "Oh, I've been through that so many times." But I have grown stronger from within, and my relationship with Christ has gone stronger and stronger. Then I get to the point, like Steve says, I'm so strong that I'm thinking just like Christ would think. Mm-hmm. And the trials that I've gone through have been like, "Wow, I can't believe I'm doing this." Mm-hmm. And going back to, like, he was talking about with kids, you know, when my kids were really little, I would take their hands and I was teaching them how to clean off the table. And I would take their hands and go over the table, but it's really my hand over their hands. Mm-hmm. But they think they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so when we're done, they're like, "Look, Mommy, I did it." And it's like, "Yes, you did it. You did wonderful." And my husband would say, "Why in the world do you do that?" Because one day they're going to be doing it by themselves.
That's right.
And that's how they learn. So God takes us. And he does things with us and through us, and we think, "Wow, I did it."
Now, how long would it have taken you to do it by yourself?
Exactly.
5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Took a good minute probably to keep that hand going to where you're going and keep the rag under it. But that was such a dynamic experience for you. And then what did your son or daughter say? "I did it. I did it." And as they reflect back, maybe at some point say, "Wow, me and Mom did it. We did it." And I think that's what the relationship with God is about. As we progress in this, we say, "Look at what I'm doing. And wow, look at what God is doing with me."
But it makes me realize that's what God means when he says,
God working in you and through you. Mm-hmm. He is really doing it in us and through us.
Absolutely.
And it's like, wow. And you know, the more mature you get, you realize God is awesome. Uh-huh. And I'm just really nothing. But He's still using me just mm-hmm. the same. It's like, mm-hmm. wow, God is that patient, that loving, that willing to share all of His glory and goodness mm-hmm. that He would even use me. That to me, that mm-hmm. is so awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You were going to say something? Oh.
You know, I was just going to add one thing to that. You know what's been amazing to me is that if I didn't suffer and if I didn't have trials, it's very easy to become arrogant. And it's very easy to become indifferent. But you know, every time I go through a painful experience, all of a sudden I see people around me that are suffering from the same things. And you know, God has called us to minister to people. Mm-hmm. And because we are human, if we do not have those constant pain and trials in our lives, it's very easy to think, I am doing so good. And I don't know what is wrong with me. But, you know, it is to those times that God breaks us and says, look around you. You aren't the only one that's going through this. Look at all the people around you that are going through the same thing.
Absolutely.
And you have this empathy that you do not gain any other way.
Absolutely.
And you can talk about empathy, and you can talk about sympathy, and you can talk about compassion. But there really is one way that you get it. And it's by experiencing that and seeing what happens that all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness.
And think about Paul. Why was he going around preaching like he was? He knew. He had a blinding experience that brought him to his knees. He had an experience where he didn't eat anything because no one, he didn't trust anybody, they weren't poisoning him. So he came to that experience and realized, wow, that's why he's so animate when he's writing. I can imagine what it had been like to hear him speak. I think Ernie, if I remember correctly, Ernie's talked about him being a short, bald little man. But boy, I would have wanted like him to come and present this Sabbath school class and what that would have been like. Because he had an experience. He experienced justification. And then the rest of his life, he was experiencing that sanctification, that getting the mind of God within him. And it was like, wow, look at this. Go ahead.
Just want to say another one of the beauties of Christ and how He works through us is when we come and we have these dialogues and discussions and we get to hear about each other, and then we start to understand the true picture of sanctification, justification, of all God's principles that we benefit from, they become ingrained in us. And sometimes you're not able to just talk religion to people.
No.
But you know what? We are
living religion.
Christ to them. And that's even more effective and more powerful. Mm-hmm. So I just really appreciate how God is just so awesome. You know, just like Sharon was saying and Julie, the way He does it is through us in such a way that we are a witness to the world. Even when they don't think we're talking about Christ, we're talking about Christ because we know nothing else to talk about. We live Him. And so because of that, we are the witness, and we have to continue to just, even through our trials, just be able to give God the praise.
Absolutely, and to realize that everything we do is a part of witnessing about how He's a part of our life. Go ahead.
You brought up Paul. I don't know about him being short and bald or not, because Paul was a terrorist.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, truly to the church, he was a terrorist, and he had that experience. And then later on, he got beaten, and they were saying, get out of jail, go on. He said, no, I don't think so. Uncondemned Romans, you're going to come back here and talk me out. He was a pretty tough guy.
He was. I mean, you look at his actual personality, it probably didn't change. But the reality is his relationship with Jesus Christ, he became of animate fervor for what he believed. He was always that way, whether it be killing the Christians or preaching to the Christians. And that's what really caused a lot of problem at first, because I'm not sure we'd want some terrorists to come in here and present the Sabbath school class if we knew they're actively at, you know. So, but you look at that with Paul. He had an experience, and he knew what justification was. He knew what that was. And then he began the process of sanctification in his life. And you read some of the earlier writings and then some later ones. It's interesting to see the contrast. What was he giving us a glimpse of? His life experience and how he has grown into the mind of God and how that became one. And that's a powerful thing to remember. It's what we have had experience in our lives that has the power. And then we understand God and how He's a part of that and how He's creating that experience, what we can do. Who else wants to share before we get ready to close? Go ahead.
I'm sitting here thinking about my experience with my daughter, Beverly, when she was 16 years old. She was about as rebellious as anyone could ever be. And she would run away from home. We'd go get her and bring her back.
Mm-hmm.
She'd run away, and the police would call somewhere. What do you want us to do with her? Hang on to her. We're going to come get her. We didn't give up on her. Mm-hmm. As an adult, she has said to me, "Mother, I don't how you ever put up with me."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Honey, because I love you."
Mm-hmm.
Why else?
Absolutely.
And that's how does God ever put up with me, because He loves me.
Absolutely. He does. And He keeps looking for ways to keep inviting you back to that relationship with Him. And He keeps looking for ways to enhance that relationship, to develop it, to really, you know, even go further. I mean, you know, it's a process. It's not stagnant. It's a process. Go ahead.
I think when we experience the love of God and allow ourselves to love God, it gives us permission to love other people also. And it is such a two-way street, you know? Because we experience the love of God, we give the love, and then we give the love.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing.
It is truly that. I mean, Ernie's big statement he keeps keeps reminding us of, that when you've met Jesus Christ, you've got to share it. You can't just simply say, "Oh, that was a good little experience, let's put it away here." You must share it, because that's the nature of it. I mean, that's why when we think about, you know, the law demands, you know, the law, what did I read? The law demands obedience, or the law demands righteousness. It is a natural part of it. It's what occurs as a result of that relationship. I mean, after listening to Rob last week and him talking about that experience and the children of before the flood and what they had available to them and how they totally disregarded God. You know, you see God as a loving, long-suffering God who keeps working every way He possibly can to help us understand what we need. How He worked with Lucifer. How He kept working with him, and he was almost convinced. But then that moment came when he said, "This is where I'm going to go," and he closed the door. I think that's something that we keep reminding ourselves of, how much God is working to bring us into relationship with Him. And to me, that's what sanctification is. He wants to keep that relationship growing and developing and ongoing, enhancing it and seeing what more there is. Because there's always a process of developing more, and that's the exciting thing. Go ahead. Oh, yes, I thought this was an amazing experience. She was, I don't know the individual she hit. It was in a rental SUV, and, you know, I think he was probably frustrated. He said, "Well, you're probably going to get a ticket, and I hope you have insurance." You know, typical things you'd say to a 24-year-old you're anxious about. And yesterday, she was at the house, and the doorbell rang, and there were flowers delivered. And it said, "Hope you're having a better Wednesday. Good luck in school." And it was from this man.
Wow.
And I thought, what a powerful experience. I mean, I just want to go find this man now. I want to go say, "You don't realize what you just did." And I'm sure he was probably caught in the moment, frustrated. "Oh, gee, I got hit by some kid pulling out of the school parking lot, you know, and near the medical school there. And geez, I just, oh, what am I going to do? It's probably frustrating. You know, it disrupts your whole world. But then
he remember
Baron
saying, I could be his doctor someday.
He said, I could be his doctor someday. But I thought that moment when that man took his time, spent his money, and he came out of his normal routine of frustration and related to her. What a powerful experience. And I think that just stimulates me so much to want to know this man. Stimulates me to wonder what does he believe about God. Stimulates me to wonder what church does he go to. Because how he took himself out of that moment and related, did something different. To me, that was a powerful thing. Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful that you love us, that you care for us so much. We know you're continually looking for ways that we can be more in a relationship with you, that you have so many ideas and plans and hopes for us. We know we resist and we struggle, but our life today as we continue is to be open to you, to know how we can experience all of what you want us to do. We're so grateful for this Sabbath day and this class where we can come and share our thoughts and ideas, and that most of all, that you love us and that you care for us. Thank you for all your blessings. Amen.